and receive and be made free with us today. Come and restore your heart and soul with us today. Hunger for the precious bread of life. Come all who thirst, drink of the living water. Come to God's life and be revived with us today. Come be transformed by the Lord of Lords with us today. Come worship with us as we lift the Savior up. Here at God's life, experience life in Christ. Experience life in Christ at God's Life.
Welcome to God's Life Christian Church here on the beaches of Kapalita in Oahu, Hawaii. This is a day that the Lord has made just for you. Why? Because He loves you and He's calling you and beckoning you to live a holy life before Him. We have been teaching and you have been hearing about holy living and living holy. And today we're continuing with this message on why should we live a holy life. So wherever you're tuning in, whether by voice or by listening or by watching, wherever you may be, East Coast, West Coast, Isles of the Caribbean or the Pacific, the lands down under, let us together go to the throne of grace and pray that this word of truth would transform our lives. So let us join together and let us call upon our God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Father, we thank you. Father, we're so grateful and so appreciative that you continue to show us and pour out your grace upon us. That you continually, Lord God, are speaking to us, Lord. May we see the urgency, Father God. May we recognize the necessity, Father God, to live holy. May we realize that it's not a suggestion, God, but it is based on who you are, Father God. You are our God and you are holy. And the world is in need of seeing your holiness, Father God. The world is in turmoil and confusion. Darkness is everywhere. Evil and wickedness seem like it's pervasive, God, but you're calling forth for our people and you're calling forth for our church to be sanctified, set apart, Lord God, to be aware of your holiness and to live in light of the truth that you are holy and you've put Holy Spirit in us so that we could be as you are. Lord, transform us with this word. Change our attitude. Change our outlook. Give us comprehension and understanding, God, that we may honor you and please you, Father God. So, Lord, we bless you for the man of God. We thank you for Bishop Calvin Bethea. We thank you, Lord God, that you have called him and used him, Father God, in this word of truth for your glory, honor, and praise. Why should we live a holy life? We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We praise you. We just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah for the prayers that preceded this word. We thank you, Lord, that this is a day that you have made. And so we've been talking about holy living and the holiness of God and so forth and whatnot. And, you know, we're at that stage now where God is trying to alert the church, those that are called by his name, to pursue holiness. He's trying to alert the church. He's trying to get us that profess the name of Jesus to truly pursue holiness and see his holiness, because it's in seeing his holiness that it's going to cause everything about our Christian life to go the way that God would decide that it would go. Not so much the way that we or anyone else decided to go, but the way that God desired that it would go. And so I've been using for a reference text 1 Peter, where it talks about be holy for I am holy, where God is calling us to be holy and so forth and so on. And so, as I said, I've been teaching about holiness holiness. And today we want to look at the question that we as Christians must confront ourselves with on a daily basis. Why should we live holy? Or to make it more personal, why should I live holy? Amen. So then, this question is not merely a philosophical or theological question, or it's not up for debate. It's not up for discussion. It is clear. God say, be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. So then it's essential for our relationship with God and our witness to the world. So how we address the question of why should I live holy has a direct effect on our relationship with God and a direct effect on our relationship with people, how we are going to be affected in building God's kingdom, and how we're going to be affected in experiencing the joy that passes all understanding of the life more abundantly that Jesus came that we might have. Again, in 1 Peter, it tells us or it commands us in God's word, amen, to be holy because God himself is holy. He commands us. So why should we live holy as Christians and believers? Well, I'm sure that if you've been listening to these messages at one point, it had to come across your mind is then, why should I live holy? Why would God beckon the church to live holy? Why will he say, be holy for I am holy? Why? Well, I have some things that I believe would contribute to God's intentions and God's purpose in telling us to be holy. And I'm going to share some of those with you today. So why should we be holy? Amen. Well, throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament, from the book of Leviticus, and then we see in Peter where God is telling, in Leviticus, he's telling the children of Israel to live holy. And then in the New Testament, he's telling us, those who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he's telling us to live holy. Amen. Hallelujah. So we see all throughout the Bible the importance of holiness, the importance of understanding or pursuing or getting an understanding of God's holiness and getting an understanding of why he called us to be holy. Amen. Hallelujah. So the call to holy is not just, as I shared in times past, it's not just a suggestion. It's not just suggesting that we do something. It's a divine authoritative command, hallelujah, from God that's grounded in the very nature of God himself. So this command is grounded in the nature of God himself. So, but why should we, as followers of Christ, press or seek to live a holy life? Well, today, let's look at that. Amen. So we have in 1 Peter, the 13th chapter, amen, the first chapter and verse 13. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 13. And I want to read from verse 13 all the way to verse 16. Amen. Hallelujah. It reads, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And then he goes on, he say, be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the 14th verse says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts of your ignorance. And then it says, but as he which has called you is holy, he which has called you is holy. He says, so be ye holy in all matter of conversations. And then the 16th verse, it says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So the Lord is reminding us in Peter that in Leviticus, it told us to be holy because he is holy. And then he's telling us in the New Testament, be holy because he is holy. But I like where it says, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, have your mind renewed. Amen. And don't let it conform to the world or to your former lust or to what you used to think. Gird up the loins of your mind. Renew your mind. Study the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Allow Holy Spirit to give you insight and understanding of God's Word and God's character and God's holiness. Amen. He says, and be sober and have hope, a hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's saying the more we get to know of Jesus, the more, amen, glory to God, we're going to experience the grace of God. Hallelujah, in a profound way. And so The first thing I want to show you is, as looking at our list, if you want to make a list, why should I live holy? Why should Christians live holy? Amen. Well, the first thing, if you're going to make a list, is going to be, we are called by a holy God. Well, I believe that if I didn't have nothing else on this list, this should get my attention and get your attention to understand that we have been called by a holy God. So first and foremost, we must understand that holiness is not just a requirement. Amen. It defines us. It defines who we are, because it is a reflection of who God is. So if I'm not living a holy life, I am not reflecting who God is. So then God says, I want you to be a reflection of me. I am holy. I want you to be holy. Hallelujah. So Peter reminds us that the one who has called us is holy. In the Old Testament, I mentioned earlier, Leviticus 11, chapter 44, verse, God declares, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself. Amen. And ye shall be holy, for I am holy. When it says sanctify yourself, in other words, it's saying allow Holy Spirit to set you apart for the work and the purpose of God in your life. Because God put us in our mother's womb for his purpose, not for ours, but for his. Oh, hallelujah. So our calling to holiness, it flows from our relationship with a holy God. So God is calling us, amen, into holiness because of our relationship with him. Hallelujah. So when we embrace holiness, what we do is we align ourselves, amen, with his character and with his nature. So this alignment shows us, allows us to experience a deeper intimacy with the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that will enable us, amen, to enter into a relationship that allows Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to transform us by ordering our thoughts and our actions. So as we draw nigh to God, as we pursue God and have a pursuit of holiness and the desire of holiness, we draw nigh to God. And in drawing nigh to God, Holy Spirit will help us to align our thoughts. It will help us to align our actions up with the Word of God, with the will of God, with the purpose of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so if you're making a list, the second thing on your list would be holiness distinguish us from the world. Now, if there's anything about my life, amen, that's going to distinguish me from the world as a Christian, it's going to be my pursuit of holiness. So living holy is a critical, it's also critical because it distinguishes us as Christians. It sets us apart. It identifies us as Christians. So living a holy life is an indication of our identity, as children of God. So now let's look at, if you will, 1 John, the third chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the very first verse. 1 John, third chapter, verse 1 and 2. Amen. It reads, Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world kneweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doeth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, our ability to call God our Father, it comes with the expectation of living in his likeness. Our ability to say that God is my Father, to say that I'm a child of God, to say that I'm a Christian, that I'm part of the kingdom of God, it comes with a expectation. If you and I say that we are a doctor, people expect you to know something about medicine, or something about healing, or something about working with injuries or sicknesses or disease. It comes with an expectation. So your identity as a child of God comes with an expectation that you will be like the God that you say that you're the son or daughter of. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it comes with us, glory to God, having a likeness to him. So the only part of my life, the only part of your life that truly identifies us with Christ is a part of our life that is holy. That's the only thing that identifies me with Christ, identifies you with Christ, is the part of our life that is holy. So if we live in like sin, glory to God, nobody's going to look at us sinning and acting a fool and acting in the flesh and living in our former ignorance, our former way, and say that, oh, that's a Christian. I'm cursing like I don't know what, and somebody going to identify me as a Christian. I have no patience. Somebody going to identify me as a Christian. I have no long suffering. Somebody going to identify me as a Christian. I get angry quick. Somebody's going to identify me as a Christian. No. We have an expectation to live like we are children of God. Hallelujah. We have an expectation. So we are called, the Bible says, we are called to be obedient children, not conforming to the patterns of the ways of the world. In Romans, the 12th chapter in verse 1 and 2, it talks about how we have an expectation, amen, to be like God. It talks about this expectation. And so what it says, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And look what he says. He said, present your body or present your life like you belong to God, like you are one of his, and he is holy. So what do? You've got to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In other words, the expectation of his likeness. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? And so he goes on to say in the second verse, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we saw in 1 Peter, amen, where it told us to be sober. To be sober. In other words, allow your mind to be renewed so that you can begin to take on the characteristics of holiness, or because you are associated, or you are called, or you are belong to a holy God. Hallelujah. So we become a light in the earth whenever we begin to live according to God's will, with God's holiness, allowing Holy Spirit to order our thoughts and our steps. We will stand out. People will know that we are different. We will stand out. Hallelujah. So when we are standing out like that, we become a light. We become a light in a dark world. And we become a light wherever we are, whether it's in our church, whether it's in our home, whether it's in our workplace or school. We become a light in this dark world. Hallelujah. And not only that, but we become an instrument of God's grace. We become an instrument of his grace and his love. So people will notice our differences. They will know that we are different because we're going to stand out. And through our testimony, through the way that we carry ourselves, through the way that we view things, through the way that we carry our conversations, the way we talk and walk and whatnot like that, it is through these testimonies we can point sinners to Christ. We can point sinners to Christ. So when we embrace holiness, what happened is we acknowledge our new identity. Amen. And then we demonstrate that we are indeed part of God's family. Amen. So whenever you and I accept who we are in Christ and pursue holiness and pursue to see God's holiness, what happens is holiness is what is kind of like a badge of honor for us. It sets us apart in a world that often dismiss the need for holiness. Most of the sermons you hear today, and a lot of churches, you hear nothing about holiness. You can listen to sermons, you hear nothing about holiness. The devil have been successful and working to cause the church to not to be distinguished from the world. He is working to bring a sense or a look of likeness to where the church is more looking like the world than the church is causing the world to look like it. We should be living in such a way in the individually and collectively, amen, that we are distinguished from the world. Hallelujah. It distinguishes us from the world. So let us pray and let us ask God, if you're in a church and holiness is not a part of the agenda, of the pursuit of the church, then you need to ask God, Lord, I want to see your holiness. Send me where your holiness is prompted on a daily basis in my life, or a sermon after sermon, I hear about your holiness. I'm prompted to know that you, a holy God, has called me. And I need you to know, glory to God, that we need to return to holiness. We need to turn to holiness. And we're going to see as we go through this list why I should live holy, why you should live holy. Amen. So let us pray that the church return to that place of holiness. I began teaching this in the beginning of 2024. Amen. And I taught it all through the year. And we're now in the second month of 2025. And I'm still teaching holiness because God says it's an emergency. Just like I use the analogy of a car horn. You hear it blow one time, you may pay attention. You hear it blow two times, you might give it a little bit more attention than you gave the one blow. But when that horn starts to blow and it's blow continually, then you're going to go and check it out. Well, right now, God's horn of holiness is blowing to the church. The church needs to go see what it is that is causing this horn to blow and see if we can't begin to adjust our life so God don't have to blow this horn like he's blowing it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so let us get excited about that. Let's remember now, holiness is a badge of honor that sets us apart from the world, amen, that often don't want nothing to do with holiness. Like I said, there's a lot of Christians that don't want nothing to do with holiness. There's a lot of churches that don't even encourage their people or a challenge to people to pursue holiness. So then let us pray that the body of Christ understand that the whole message to the world, the whole life of a Christian is based on their relationship with God related to the holiness of God that we see. Hallelujah. If you're making a list, the third thing, the first thing is that we are called by a holy God. Holiness distinguishes us from the world. And then holiness is a requirement to enter heaven. You know, it seems like all you got to do to go to heaven is die. It seems like every time you go to a funeral, some people going to heaven. You know, they might have been in church or living like hell, doing whatever, but they're going to heaven because they died. I need you to know, we're called by a holy God. I'm under persuasion, and Holy Spirit let me know, there's only holy people in heaven. If you think, oh God, if you think that God is going to allow me up there in my filthiness, allow you up there in your filthiness, allow us into his heaven, and we are living like hell, not acknowledging God. We have a form of godliness. We might be going to church. We might be reading our Bible. We might be praying, but we don't see that God is holy, and we are not trying to be holy. But I say unto you today, if you are having any intention of going into God's heaven, you need to know that only holy people are in heaven. We've sent a lot of people to heaven that ain't there. They might have went before God to be judged, but they didn't get welcome home. And what we need to do is, I know some of you are saying, well, this is kind of hard, you know, because how many people have died and you're not having no compassion, you're not having no love. Listen, I can't do nothing for those that's already gone. If they made it in, hallelujah. If they didn't make it in, they didn't make it in. But I'm saying what I believe Holy Spirit is causing, trying to get our attention is, what are you doing to make your calling and election sure? What are you doing to make sure that you are doing everything you can to meet God's requirements and God's standards to go into his heaven? Holiness is required to go into heaven. Well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Hebrews the 12th chapter. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you look at about the 14th verse, amen, I'm just going to just give you what it says. It says that we are to understand, amen, that we are to make every possible effort we can to be at peace or live in peace, amen, with all men. And then it says, and to be holy. It says to be holy. See, without holiness, it says no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So you're telling me if I'm not pursuing a holy life, even though I've been quote unquote calling myself a child of God, even though I've been calling myself a Christian, even though I worked in the church, even though I preached from the pulpit, even though I've taught in classes and whatnot about God, you're telling me that if I don't pursue holiness, I will not see God? Well, I'm not telling you that. His word says that. Hallelujah. And why would you say God, why would you think God would say, be ye holy for I am holy? And somehow or another, when you come before him after you pass, you're going to come before him. You never pursued holiness. And he's supposed to say, oh, well, I know I said about living holy. I know I said be holy. But, you know, in this case, I'm going to let you get past because, no, you never pursued it. You never really made it a priority in your life. You never really thought about my character. The undergrounding character that I have is my holiness, because without holiness, God will not be God. And without holiness, we would not be Christian. So then I need you to know that this is a wake up call, to a sobering call, that only people in heaven is holy. We done sent people who dealt drugs to heaven. We done sent people who slept around into heaven. We done sent people who done all kind of things that was ungodly, unscripture, but somehow or another, when they died, all they had to do was die, and then everybody put them in heaven. Well, I need you to know there's a lot of people you put in heaven that you're not going to find there because God didn't put them there. Hallelujah. So holiness is a requirement to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is good. Hallelujah. So it says to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let us keep that in mind, that we're called by a holy God. Holiness distinguishes us from the world. Amen. Holiness is required to enter heaven. You can talk about heaven all you want to. You can dream about it. You can do whatever you want to do about it and talk and think about how good it is. But there ain't but one way in, and that is holiness. Because only people in heaven, the only people that is in heaven is holy. So you can believe what you want to believe about whoever done died and passed on. And you can believe whatever you want to believe about yourself. But I say unto you today, only holy people is in heaven. And so if that's where you want to go, if that's your intentions now, if that's what you decide to do, then you need to check into this holiness thing. You need to allow Holy Spirit to show you what God requires you and requires you to do in regards to holiness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And remember now, a lot of times people think that living holy, they doing God a favor. But if you're making a list, another thing, another reason why we should live holy on your list is because holiness is for our own good. We don't live holy for God. We live holy, amen, because God called us to be holy. He is already holy. He's made us holy when he put his Holy Spirit in us. And he is saying, you know what? The best life that you ever going to live. And we're not talking about Joel Osteen's best life. We're talking about God's best life. The best life that any human being, and especially Christians, can live is a life that is undergirded with the recognition of God's holiness and the recognition that God has put his Holy Spirit in us for us to be holy. When we come to that recognition and then we surrender, amen, and submit our life to Holy Spirit so that Holy Spirit can carry out what God is asking us to do or be, then, glory to God, we will begin to have our best life ever. Because the best life that any individual can have, glory to God, is a life that recognizes God's holiness. And then when they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then they recognize that God has put holy in them. God has put holy in you, and God is saying, be holy because I put holy in you. I need you to respond to the holy that I put in you. Amen. I don't need you to try to be holy on your own. I want you to be holy because I've made you holy already. You don't have to go get holy. All you have to do is be saved, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be genuine in God's eye, not in my eye, nobody else's eye, but genuine in God's eye, and Holy Spirit comes to live in you, because you cannot be a Christian without Holy Spirit. You cannot live a Christian life without Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Living a holy life is for my own benefit, for your own benefit. Hallelujah. So when we follow God's commandments and live according to his standards, what happens is we not only fulfill his will for our life, amen, and the purpose in which we were born, hallelujah, we are fulfilling his will and his purpose for why we are ever born. So if you ever want to know why you're here, then just do this. Pursue holiness. Pursue the holiness and allow Holy Spirit to do what it is that God has placed him in you to do. If you're a born-again believer, God has placed Holy Spirit in you for a purpose. And that purpose plainly, clearly has to do with causing you to be able to be holy and live holy because God is holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Hallelujah. So remember now, we are not doing God a favor by trying to live holy. We are going to experience the life that we are searching for. We're going to experience life and experience it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen. When we, glory to God, are pursuing holiness. Hallelujah. So understand that God's desire for us to be holy is for our good and not for his. What happened is his standards are the standards that he lay out in scripture are for our well-being. We understand that what God has put in his word is for our good. It is for our well-being. It is there to guide us away from sin. Amen. Glory to God, which will ultimately destroy or lead to destruction in our life. So if we are trying to avoid destruction in our life, hallelujah, if we are trying to live the life, as I said, the best life, glory to God, that we can live is a life that is undergirded by the recognition of God being a holy God. Hallelujah. In Matthew, the 7th chapter and the 13th verse. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus was talking about the straight and the narrow way and the straight and the narrow gate. Amen. So, in the 13th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It reads, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that lead to destruction, and many there be which shall go thereafter. The 14th verse says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life or into heaven. Amen. It says, and few that be that find it. So when we choose holiness, what we do is we choose life. We choose joy. We choose peace. Amen. We choose to be with the Father eternally. We choose, glory to God, hallelujah, to live in a right relationship with God. Because when you and I choose, amen, holiness, we choose to come into a right relationship with God. And it's that right relationship with God that will calls us to experience all that God would have us to experience. Amen. Another thing, if you are putting this on your life, on your list, amen, hallelujah, holiness will bring us closer to God. So when you and I are pursuing holiness, we are pursuing the holy God. And when you're pursuing the holy God, hallelujah, amen, the Bible says when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. So holiness will also foster a deeper connection with God our Father. And James, we are invited to draw nigh to God. He tells us to draw nigh to God. And when we do that, it says God will draw nigh unto us. So sin create a barrier between us and God. But when we strive for holiness, when we pursue holiness, when we decide to be holy as God is holy, what happens is we break through that barrier of sin and we experience his presence more fully. Amen. So we become more receptive to the work of Holy Spirit in our life. We allow Holy Spirit to lead us. We allow Holy Spirit to guide us and direct our action. We allow Holy Spirit to comfort us. We allow Holy Spirit to give us wisdom for our lives on a daily basis. Hallelujah. So holiness brings us closer to God. Hallelujah. The last thing that I want to share is not the last thing on my list, but the last thing that we're going to put on our list for the day is holiness is our response to God's grace. Holiness is our response to God's grace. We must recognize that our pursuit of holiness is a response to the incredible grace that we receive through Jesus Christ. So when someone does something for us, we try to show our appreciation in whatsoever way we can. Now, we don't have nothing to give God to show his appreciation for how good he is to us, but what we can do, we can respond, amen, to how he say respond. He said, listen, if you want to show me appreciation, be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So then, holiness is our response to God's grace. And Titus, the second chapter, in Titus, the second chapter. Hallelujah. God is good. And I'm going to begin reading at the 11th verse of Titus, the second chapter. Hallelujah. And this is what it reads. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Hallelujah. So, our holiness is not a means to earn God's love. Rather, it is a response to the love he has already shown us. Amen. So, we've been redeemed. We've been made free from sin. And our life should reflect, amen, that we've been transformed. Our life should reflect that transformation because it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Hallelujah. And those of us that have accepted it and received it and experienced eternal life, amen, glory to God, in this life more abundantly, out of appreciation to what came with our salvation, we will show God, hallelujah, how much we are appreciated. We appreciate him by, amen, glory to God, showing up him that by pursuing holiness. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are called to reflect the nature of God. Hallelujah. So then, our holiness is not a means to earn God's love. Rather, it is more of us showing God that we appreciate him. So in my conclusion, the call to holiness, it is clear. And this is what I said in the beginning of the message. The call to holiness is clear. It is not confusing. It is not graded. It's not shady. God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He didn't say, try to be holy. He didn't say, if you desire, be holy. He said, no, be holy, for I am holy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's clear. As we reflect on these reasons for why we should live holy, let us not view holiness as some type of burden or something, amen, but as the pathway to God's intended life for us. God put us in our mother's womb with an intention or with a particular life that he has intended for us to experience. And so pursuing holiness, amen, it helps us, amen, to live that life. So let us not, as I said, view holiness as a burden, but let us view it as the pathway for the life, for a life that is filled with abundance, meaning that we want to live a life with meaning. We want to live a life with purpose. We want a life of joy. We want a life of peace. We want a life of ever knowing and being intentionally aware of God's presence. Amen. And then whenever we leave here, we want a life of eternity. Amen. In Christ. So we are called to reflect the nature of God. Amen. Our God, who is holy. And this, as I said earlier, it is to distinguish ourselves from the world, to protect us from the consequences of sin or the destruction of sin, to draw closer to God, and to respond to his grace with life, with the life that is marked by his holiness. So, as we press to live holy, let us remember that we are not, we will not achieve perfection in this life. In other words, we won't be perfectly the perfect person in nobody's eyes, in our eyes, in nobody else's eyes. But it does not excuse me, it does not excuse you from diligently, and I mean diligently, pursuing holiness. And I say diligently, I mean intentionally on a daily basis, why should I live holy? And then let Holy Spirit answer that for you continually, and then say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to live holy on my own, But I do understand some things about why I should live holy. And first and foremost, my Father who called me, or the God who called me, He is holy. And if I'm going to associate myself with Him, then I'm going to have to be what He said that I was going to be. In other words, God said, you want to be with me? Be holy. If you want to be with me while you own this earth in the here and now, be holy. If you want to be with me in eternity, be holy. Hallelujah. Why? Because I am holy and I don't have nobody hanging around me who are not holy. Somebody say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, isn't He? So then I encourage you today that we have the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is holy. God put holy in us when He put His Spirit in us, and He is there to empower us. He's there to encourage us. He's there to convict us when we lose our mind, when we're not sober. Amen. Glory to God. Holy Spirit is there to bring us back to a place of soberness, spiritually speaking, in our mind. So let us gird up the loins of our mind. Let us be sober. Amen. And hope to the end for the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. May we as a people embark, or as God's church embark, or pursue holiness. Amen. Glory to God. Together. Let us do it. Amen. Individually, and let us do it collectively. Amen. Hallelujah. And we want to lift one another up. We want to encourage one another. We want to be strongly rooted in the knowledge that we are His beloved children, and we are called to reflect His holiness in a world that is so desperate in need of God. Hallelujah. So remember, we are called to holiness not just for us, or just not for our advantage, but for us to be a light in the earth for those who need to know the God that we know. Hallelujah. So we become beacons of hope. We become beacons of light and dark world. So let us pursue holiness, for He who has called us is holy. May our life shine brightly, amen, as we continue to ask Holy Spirit to show us, or enable us, or equip us to be holy as the God who has called us is holy. Continue in your life to glorify God in all that you do and all that you say. In Jesus' name, be ye holy, for the God that called us is holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.